Welcome again to Marin Covenant Church. My name is Ben Kearns, one of the pastors, and you know, one of my favorite genres of movies is action-adventure. I know it's a big shocker, although I did watch a whole rom-com series by myself this last week, so I do have a soft side as well. And when I was younger, I mean, for real, the action-adventure piece was because I loved watching things blow up. I mean, who doesn't? Like, that's exciting. And as long as something's blowing up, I'm in. But as I've gotten older and more and more tired, I realized the thing that I enjoy about these action adventure movies is it's just a really fun, compelling way of usually telling the hero's journey, right? There's some unforeseen person, some kind of someone who doesn't measure up, who doesn't have all the things that he needs, is broken in some way. And then through a whole series of events, they find a mentor, they discover their true abilities, their true calling, and then they're used to save the day. And it's a beautiful story, and it has in every genre. But the X-Men is one of these franchises. I wasn't a big comic book guy, but I love movies, so that's how I know about the X-Men. But I love the X-Men because I just resonate with this, because these X-Men are these incredible superheroes, but if you know the premise, they're mutants. They're freaks, right? They are people that do not fit in with society. There's the human population, and then there's these mutants. And when I was younger, I was like, yeah, I just want to be Wolverine. Wolverine and Cyclops are awesome. Or Rogue is this like ultra-powerful woman. Like, those are the people that you'd want to be. But as you get to know their stories, it's actually kind of heartbreaking, because what you find is these superheroes, these mutants, are just shunned from the regular population. And some of them like lash out in anger. Some of them, you know, just go into hiding. And one of the guys that I found myself resonating a ton with is Nightcrawler. He's this the guy in the very front here. He's weird. He's all marked up. He has a tail. Like, he can't hide his deformity. He can't hide that he's a mutant. Some mutants could hide and fit in. Some mutants were really powerful, and that was great. But Nightcrawler couldn't really hide that he was a mutant. And so he just hid from society, basically. He found a life for himself in the circus, because that's a place that he could fit in. And then the circus shuts down. But finally, he comes across Professor Xavier. And Professor Xavier, right, he's the head of all of the X-Men. And what I love about Professor Xavier is he sees all these mutants, all these people who have these unique abilities, this very unique thing about them, but instead of being freaks, he sees them, he goes, oh my goodness, you are incredible. And instead of just like lashing out or using it for your own selfish gain, what if you leverage your unique mutant power for the good of the world? And he grabs all these X-Men together. And Nightcrawler is one of these guys who just lived in the shadows and was hidden. He like teleported, never knew how to use it except to get out of trouble or have people not see him. And Professor Xavier says, I see you and your weird little mutantness, and I'm gonna actually use you. And what's funny is, in all of the most complex adventures that they go on, the big strong people, like, they all know they're coming, and you actually need the smaller hidden mutants to actually get things, to make things happen. And I love that story, and I love the X-Men, because I think when we talk about ourselves, when we figure out who we are as people, most of us feel like mutants. Like, we know we're humans, we know we fit in, we've been around the self-esteem talk long enough, we know we should be awesome and beautiful and do things for the world, but many of us have this pit inside of us, and we just think, gosh, there's something fundamentally broken in me. If anyone ever really knew this thing that's broken in me, or I could never contribute, and we end up just like hiding in the shadows. Until someone like Professor Xavier, some mentor in our life, helps us go, oh my goodness, you should not be hiding in the shadows. You actually have an incredible superpower. You are incredibly and uniquely made by God to be used for his purpose. And what I love about that is more and more, that's becoming even just normative in the culture at large, not even in the Christian world. Last year, Jeff taught a class called The 7 Primal Questions. I don't know if you read this book or did that class. It was awesome. I was talking with a friend of mine, and she was so bent out of shape, so sad. She's like, my primal question is, am I wanted? Am I wanted? And it's like every data point says I am not wanted, because I'm the one that always has to invite people. I'm the one who always has to make plans. I'm the one who always has to do the follow-up call. I'm the one who always. And if I never did that, then I would not be wanted. But what's wild is in our mutinous, we think, oh, because I'm not wanted. But as an X-Man, you go, you take that primal question of am I wanted, and you realize that her primal superpower is that she knows how to make anybody feel wanted. In fact, anyone who's around this woman is like, I feel so seen. I feel so wanted. You're always reaching out to me, right? So this mutant thing that we have in us can actually be redeemed to become our superpower. So there's the seven primal questions. There's another, the business world, there's the strengths finders. It's the same sort of principle, right? That trying to figure out that there is something that you've been uniquely gifted with, uniquely given. There's part of you that is unique to you, and it's not a mutation. You're not a freak. You're not a problem child, but there's a way for that to be used and leveraged for the kingdom of God. And but before we jump into the scriptures, I think we need to look at kind of three challenges, because when we talk about spiritual gifts, I think there's these three things that kind of give us pause in why we get stunted. The first is, we just haven't named our gift yet. We just feel like a mutant. We just feel jumbled up inside. We just think, I just go through my life. I don't have a spiritual gift. I don't bring anything unique to the table. And so because we don't bring anything unique to the table, we just kind of move through life. That's what's so great about Strength Finders. You take this test and it's like, hey, here's your five things that you are great at. And all of a sudden you're like, whoa, there's five things that I'm great at. You kind of intuitively knew, but when someone says it out loud, it actually changes it and makes you see your life a little different. So the first thing is that we haven't named it yet. The second thing is you may know them, but you compare them to others. Like for me, I go, oh, I'm like Nightcrawler. I wish I was like Wolverine. I want to be like that person. I wish I had that spiritual gift. I wish I had that thing. And because I wish I had that, then I spend all my time judging them, feeling bad about them, feeling bad at myself, and then stepping out and not actually activating my gift either. So you know what it is, but you compare. And the other one is you may know your gift, but you don't have the imagination for how it can be leveraged. Right? You're like, man, I crush data analytics. How do I use that for the kingdom of God? I don't know. I don't know. But if you crush data analytics, which I don't, you need to find someone else who crushes data analytics and figure out and begin to have an imagination going, oh my goodness, this is how my unique gift can be used for the kingdom of God. So that's what we're going to take a look at this morning, is how in the world do we put our spiritual gifts to work? So if you have your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 12. We've just been meandering through these first few verses here. And we're going to start again at verse 4. And we'll read verse 3-8. It says this: For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think more highly than you ought, but rather you think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance to the faith that God has distributed to each of you. Then he goes on to say this: For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, though many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. I just love that picture because, again, we're not a machine. We all don't do a thing, and then if you fail at your thing, you just pop out your part and you put another part in. No, we are a body. You look at your body is very complex. You have so many bones and muscles and organs and synapses and nerve endings, right? There's so much complexity to your body, and your whole body has a very unique, every part has its own unique function that if you just laid them all out, they would not seem like they make sense, but all together, they form one body and we belong to each other. And before we hop into this, trying to figure out what is the actual part of the body we are, we need to understand this only works because we belong to each other. We aren't utilitarian cogs in a wheel that you do this and then you're done, you do this. No, we belong to each other. We care for each other. We support one another and we together move with one purpose. So then he goes on to say this: We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. Then Paul says this: If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. It is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. I mean, it's very simple. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, this whole sermon can be wrapped up with, what is your spiritual gift? Now do it. And I almost titled the sermon, Just Do It, but Nike, you know, jacked Caitlin Clark, and so I'm not a big Nike fan right now. But that's what we need to do. We need to figure out what is our spiritual gift? What is the unique thing that God has given to you? And once you know what it is, you don't complain about it. You don't be bummed that you're not somebody else. you put it into practice. And as you put it into practice, you grow in that gift. You develop that gift. You grow in your imagination and how that gift can come to fruition. And you become an expert in that gift. And you maximize your part of the body of Christ so the kingdom of God moves forward. So let me read this list one more time. It says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is to give, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. And if it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Last week, Jeff gave us this definition of spiritual gift. It says this: through the presence of the Holy Spirit in you, you've been given a set of uniquely designed supernatural abilities that God uses through you to do his thing. And I love this definition because we just think, oh, I have the gift of helps or the gift of service, or then I just, that's all that I do. And wasn't it a great illustration? We talked about this picture of the color wheel, like, oh, I have a gift of encouragement, so that is red. And then someone else has a gift of encouragement and wisdom, it's gonna look orange. And someone has a gift of encouragement and service, it's gonna look purple. Like we are a combination of all of who we are. So it's not, even again, it's not you're a cog in a wheel and we need someone who serves, you serve. No, you bring your unique giftedness, because it's not just your gifts and abilities, it's your past, it's your background, it's your perspective, it's your personal temperament, it's your passions. All of those things come together to form the spiritual gift that God wants to use in you. And so here's the bottom line, that we all have different gifts. That's it. We all have different gifts. And so the task for this morning, and then we'll talk a little bit more later next week as well as we wrap up this part of the series, is to figure out, gosh, what is the unique thing that God has wired me to do? And sometimes it might be, what is that unique mutant thing that is broken that I have put all this energy into and I think is actually a debilitating part of who I am? And God's actually, no, you think you're broken and not wanted? You are supposed to be the super inviter. God wants to use you to invite people so that they can feel welcome, because that's how God redeemed. Not saying you should not want to not feel wanted, but God redeems our stories, redeems our history, redeems our families of origin, and uses them for his glory. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at a list of spiritual gifts. And we're going to run through this list twice. And what I'd like you to do is, if you can grab a card in front of you, just grab a white card and a pen in front of you. And I'm going to walk through this list of spiritual gifts once, just to blow through them real quick. And then we're going to go through them again one more time with a little more description. And what I just love is, as there's a word or a gifting or something that goes, gosh, I kind of resonate with that, or that's kind of interesting, or perks your interest, or you're like, oh, that's me, I want you to just write that down on the card in front of you. Now, here's kind of a more simple definition of spiritual gifts. I think if you've been around the church a long time, then what Jeff had to say, I think it makes a ton of sense, right? We've been gifted by the Holy Spirit with unique spiritual gifts to be used by him to do his thing. And in your way you go. But if you're like brand new to the spiritual gifts conversation, here's a really simple definition. It's simply an ability that you have that blesses the body of Christ or expands the kingdom of God. Very simple. It is just simply an ability that you have that will bless the church or expand the kingdom of God. So it's a very wide, wide list. The list that I'm going to give you is a list that comes out of Scripture, and it's a list that helps shape how we understand the world, because we want Scriptures to mold us and shape us. But it's also a list that's 2,000 years old. So we also want to be creative. Like, are there things that maybe that we get at the end, you're like, my thing didn't make the list. And I want you to think about what might didn't make the list either, okay? So here we go. And Romans, the passage we just read through, these were the gifts: prophecy, serving, teaching, encouragement, giving, leadership, and mercy. That's the ones out of Romans. If you look in 1 Corinthians, right, there's a whole other list of gifts. In that list, there's a gift of wisdom and knowledge, the gift of faith, of healing, of powers, of prophecy, of discernment, of speaking in tongues, interpreting tongues. In Ephesians, it talks about apostleship, evangelism, teaching, helping, administration. And then if you do a big concordance search of all spiritual gifts, there's a couple others that are found all over the Scripture. There's these ones: hospitality, yes; prayer, yes. Craftsmanship, music, missions, leadership, yes. Singleness, no. Martyrdom, no. Poverty, no. It's interesting, I'm reading this book on the church fathers right now, and oh my gosh, do they just make our faith look like we are babies. And maybe we are, right? I mean, maybe Jesus was right about, you know, that we who have so much now are such spiritual babies, and people who have nothing are spiritual giants. And watching and reading these martyrs who their understanding of faith and their love for God and their conception of the resurrection and life everlasting, you're like, whoa, big time, right? I mean, it is so culturally not us to think, what if God called me to chastity, to singleness for the sake of the kingdom of God? I tried to pass that by my wife and she said it was too late for me. So those are the gifts that that are found in scripture, right? And scripture's our language. Those are kind of the big buckets. But like I said, scripture's 2,000 years old. And so there's way more things, but these capture a number of buckets. So what I want to do what do you find yourself doing out of joy or proficiency? That's another good way to think about which one of these gifts is mine. Because like I don't love like doing the dishes, right? That's I don't love that. But I find myself, one of the places that I find joy is I just love sticking around and setting up a room or cleaning up a room afterwards. I love being with those people. So it's serving, but it's like, when I think of serving, I think of doing the dishes. I don't like doing the dishes, but I found myself, I love serving people and having those come up, right? So a good way to, a good lane is what do you find yourself doing out of your just natural joy because you love doing or because you're just so good at it out of proficiency? We're going to walk through this list one more time and I'm going to give you just a little more to scriptures and we'll see what you guys write down. And again, you just on one piece of paper on the front half of your index card, just write one or two, or if you're like Seth, 20, just write them all and away we go. So here we go, prophecy. This is the ability to receive and communicate a message from God, often to encourage, correct, or to guide the church. Serving or ministry. This is the gift of serving in very practical application of meeting the needs of others. It involves using one's time and energy and resources to help individual and our church community. Teaching. This gift involves the ability to clearly explain and apply the truths of Scripture, helping others grow in understanding the faith. You have the gift of encouragement. This gift focuses on motivating others towards action, growth, or perseverance. I love this. Encouragers come alongside people to support them during trials and to help them reach their full potential in Christ. The gift of giving or stewardship. These people have the gift of giving that involves a special ability to contribute generously and sacrificially to support the work of the church and to support the work of the kingdom of God. Leadership or administration. The gift of leadership includes the ability to guide, to oversee, and organize the activities of the church. It involves casting vision, setting goals, and motivating others to accomplish them. I love this. This is the gift of mercy. This is beautiful. The gift of mercy is characterized by deep compassion and care for those who are suffering or in need. Those with this gift feel drawn to help the sick, the poor, and the marginalized. Many of us, we just run or flee. It's too hard. It's too challenging. People with the gift of mercy, they force the church, right, to see the humanity of people, to see the brokenness of people. They're compelled to search for reconciliation and forgiveness. I love the gift of mercy. I wish I had it. Then we have words of wisdom. This gift involves providing wise counsel. The gift of knowledge is different. The gift of knowledge refers to the ability to understand deep spiritual truths and then to actually apply them. You have the gift of faith. The gift of faith enables a person to trust God deeply, even in impossible circumstances. I love that. This is another one. This is why I'm like, I'm Nightcrawler, because people have the gift of faith. I'm just mesmerized by it. I'm like, what? Someone gets laid off and they're like, whoa, I wasn't sure what God had for me and I guess this job is not it. And I'm like, what? That is like, that's the gift of faith, right? I have the gift of panic when that happens. The gift of healing. The gift allows a person to be an instrument through which God brings physical, emotional, or spiritual healing. Miracles. The gift of miracles involves the ability to perform supernatural acts that reveal God's power. Discerning the spirits. I love this one. This gift allows an individual to distinguish between spiritual truth and deception, especially when identifying whether something is from God or human or evil spirits. What's wild is I always thought I had the gift of discernment. I'm like, no, I have the gift of wisdom, but I don't have the gift of discernment. Do you know how scary that is for you? It should be, and for me and my wife. Right? So I'm like, oh my goodness, we need the body of Christ, because it's not, they're not all the same things. Knowing how the world works is one thing. Being able to discern if God's in it or not is a totally different thing. Right? Speaking in tongues, interpreting tongues, special different prayer languages, or missionaries showed up at brand new spots, were able to speak and communicate. It's incredible. Then you have apostleship. The gift of apostleship involves establishing new churches, spreading the gospel in new regions, and providing spiritual oversight. Evangelism, I love this. Evangelists have the special ability to communicate the gospel effectively, leading others to faith in Christ. They often possess a passion for sharing the good news with unbelievers. I have a heart for evangelism, but I'm horrible at it. In fact, I was playing golf with a person, and every chance, this person's like trying to like tell this person about Jesus. And the guy who's playing with us like, did not want to know about Jesus, if you know what I mean. Like, you know, you can tell. And I'm like, please don't ask what I do. I could just feel the whole thing. But this guy, he had the gift of evangelism. He's like, no, there's no wasted moment. Every shot, I'm like, oh, thankfully it's at McGinnis and it's going to be over any minute now. You have the gift of pastoring. The gift of shepherding involves caring for the spiritual and emotional well-being of the congregation. All right, the gift of helps. The gift of helps involves supporting others in ministry through practical assistance. It often includes behind-the-scenes work that allows more visible ministries to function. The gift of hospitality. This is the gift, the ability to create a welcoming environment for others, providing food and shelter and fellowship. This gift strengthens relationships and promotes unity. How cool is that? Intercession. Have a special burden for praying for others and for important issues. They spend significant time in prayer, and they see God move in response to their petitions. What's wild, again, this is like, this should be the number one gift we long to have. And we have this tiny little prayer team of people who are committed to praying, not just for you, not just for us, our pastoral team, but for the world, for our leaders, for our congressmen, for all the challenges that are happening in the world, for anything that comes across, they can spend hours just praying and wrestling with God to the ground to make things happen. I love that. It's funny because people who have the gift of intercession, they can't not do it. They wake up in the middle of the night and they have to pray. It's part of like their wiring. I wake up in the middle of the night, I'm like, oh my goodness, I just worry. People have the gift of intercession. They take that worry and they recognize that God's speaking to them, using them for prayer. And God uses their prayers in incredible ways. I love this, craftsmanship. The gift of craftsmanship involves the ability to create, build, and design in a way that glorifies God. How cool. Being an artist is actually a spiritual gift. People who know how to make things beautiful, people who can create something out of nothing, they can use that for the glory of God. I love craftsmanship. Music and worship, the gift and ability to lead others in worship through song or instrumentation. I can't believe our church is so blessed with so many incredible musicians. They work so hard. Not only are they good at it, but they practice their gift. They don't just go, yeah, I'm a good singer. Oh, I'm good at guitar. They practice. John Beams, the amount of hours that he puts in just so he can get those guitar licks. It doesn't even make sense to me, but he puts time and effort and energy so that there's no barrier musically. We don't go, what is that? We just get to enter in to worship. People who do that's a gift from God. How cool is that? Missionaries. Missionaries are called to be cross-cultural missionaries, sharing the gospel and establishing churches in new regions. And then lastly, the gift of governance includes the ability to oversee and lead the church in decision-making. Singleness, martyrdom, and poverty. I just thought we can set up a pastoral appointment for those. If you wrote that down, come to my office and let's get after it. Okay. Sorry, you have to skip two slides, Andrea, because I forgot where I am now. Oh, yeah, okay. So here's the bottom line. Okay, so you have a list, right? Before we move on, was there anything that you thought, man, I'm actually pretty good at this, but that didn't make the 2,000-year-old list? Yeah.
Communication.
Right? That's a whole industry. Being able to communicate, understanding communication. Something else I thought is like technology. video editing, right? It kind of fits into craftsmanship a little bit, right? But man, there's people in our church who are so good at video editing, not just technically, but they can use their video editing to draw out these incredible stories and help people see the humanity of other people. He's a tech guy, right? It's a gift. Any others that didn't make the list that you're like, I love this? Okay, so this is wild. This is, Brian.
Humor, laughter.
Yes, thank you. Humor, laughter, enjoyment. But there's funny, right? It kind of could fit under hospitality. It could fit under relationships and care and serving. One thing for me, I thought like, I always wrestled with some of these because I realized I love politics. I love culture. I love sociology. I almost got a PhD in anthropology. And then I realized I was never going to be able to support a family. So like that was not going to work. But what's interesting is I'm like, how does that even work? Because part of our spiritual gifts, we do the thing that we love. We find joy. We can't not do that, right? You're like, man, I love coding. Like, I don't understand that, but some people love coding, right? They're all about it. So there's something, well, what does God have for you in that? And what I realize is, oh my goodness, one of my spiritual gifts is I'm actually called to be a missionary. But the bummer is I don't have any other language ability and I don't have any gifts. I'm not smart enough to be a doctor or I can't build anything. So he's like, how about be a missionary in Marin? I'm like, okay, I can do that, right? But these things that we naturally love doing, we want to draw out and to begin to identify what they are. So that first thing is to discover. And would some of you willing just to say out loud, what are some of the things that you wrote on your list? Just yell them out.
Encouragement.
Leadership. Leadership. Hospitality. What?
Craftsmanship.
Yep.
Prayer. Prophecy.
Prayer. Prophecy.
Teaching.
A listener. See, that wasn't on the list, Russ, but I like that. You're like, but I'm going to be a listener. Right? I'm going to use that for God. I'm going to use that for others. I love that. So we have to discover what they are. And then once we discover what they are, we have to actually begin to activate them. So you go, oh my goodness, this is the thing that I can do. This is a unique gifting that God has put on me. This is a unique passion that God has given to me. So now I need to start putting those things into place. That's what I love about the Strength Finder so much. The Strength Finder says, hey, here's 33 things that are out there. Here are your five. Don't worry about the five things that you're horrible at. Here's the five things that you're great at. And in fact, just do those things more. Russ, listen more. Heather's like, yes, listen more. I like that. Right? If you have the gift of serving, serve. You have the gift of encouragement. You're like, whoa, maybe I have the gift of encouragement. You know, I'm going to set world records. I'm going to try to encourage as many people as possible. So we need to discover, we need to activate them, put it into practice, and then we need to celebrate other people. This is the part I think we often miss in spiritual gifts because what happens is, again, we compare ourselves so much to other people. I wish I could listen like Russ. I wish I could build things like somebody else. I wish I could encourage like somebody. I look at everybody else's gifts and I want their gifts. And what ends up happening is I get envious, I get bitter, I end up tearing those people down, and I stunt my own spiritual development. Instead, what if I can celebrate that? What if I can actually recognize what other people bring, call those things out, and celebrate those with others? I think that's a hard discipline. I think it's a gift that God actually has called us to do. So when I think of like our church, this is what's so fun. Our church is jam-packed, full of incredible people. Did you know this guy right here, Lance Bardo? Not only was he a captain in the Coast Guard, but he has the supernatural gift of administration, which is so boring. But you know what? His superpower of administration, what?
You just want to be me.
I do. God actually used Lance to single-handedly help shore up our church so that we would actually have systems and structures that are healthy in place for us to be a ministry for 20 years. And not only that's just for our church, his gifts of administration go in building other people. He's had a whole career of investing other people, building people up. Incredible. Daniel has this gift of athleticism. He caught this incredible interception against Marin Catholic. They didn't win, but it was the most exciting part of the game. And Daniel may not know this yet, but his athleticism is actually going to open up all sorts of doors and relationships around that he doesn't even know yet. So it's the beginning of a spiritual gift, so something he's great at, but he doesn't even fully know how that's going to work. Krista is probably one of the smartest human beings I know. There's not one thing that you think through that you, the way you understand not data, but information, and you're so analytical and can think through anything. And your wisdom and analytical brain, I think, are a benefit to anyone who's willing to spend time with you. And so I'm so thankful for you. Barb, I'm mostly thankful for you, but mostly for Barb, who has the gift of faith, not only to be married to Arv for so long, but Barb enters her life to go, okay, God, my life is to honor you, Jesus. Every season, whatever good thing or bad thing happens, I'm going to honor Jesus in it, and I'm going to learn what God has for me. And I'm like, oh, taking notes, Barb. So I'm so thankful for you. I'm going to try to make myself, oh, Gail. Gail is this incredible, genius businesswoman. Now, anyone can be in business and anyone can crush it. And I think you just retired too, right? So congratulations. But Gail used her incredible acumen for business and her heart for people to help make families, to give children to people who are struggling with infertility, people who are begging and dying for kids. She's like, oh, I can do that. I can be used by God to do that. What an awesome gift. And you're retired now. Terry, you're okay too. I appreciate you. All right. Shoot, I'm running out of time. We'll make it around. Hey. All right, I'm gonna do this guy. These back row right here are probably two of the greatest encouragers in our entire church. Booker has done that for young people his entire life. And if you ever get around him, like, he will coach you up something fierce. He has a word from God and an encouragement 24/7. Sean does that a little more in an emotive way. It sometimes makes me a little uncomfortable, but it is so genuinely thoughtful and spirit-filled. And he also has a gift of discernment, which is a good partnership for someone with wisdom like me. So I appreciate you. Jared Riley, this guy over here, he has this, I don't know if it's necessarily a gift, but the spiritual fruit of wisdom and patience. And for whatever reason, God called him to love fifth graders. If you've ever been around a fifth grader, they're a special breed. They're the people that you put in barrels and send away to boarding school. And Jared has said, I'm going to teach those guys, and I'm going to love them and care for them. What a gift Jared is, right? What I love is Carrie LaMountain up here with her beautiful accessories. Carrie makes every room brighter. Isn't that wild? Like, she has the gift of hospitality and care. And so it's like whenever you're around Carrie, you're like, oh, I feel welcome. And she does things behind the scene to make the room beautiful and perfect. And I'm really thankful for you leveraging your gifts. This guy, George, you already shared a couple weeks ago on the couch. But what I love about George, he has this gift of empathy. And so he can actually sit with people and people feel seen and cared for and known. And he leads our grief ministry because he's the kind of person that can sit with somebody for a very long time. I'm jealous. I want that gift because I got 15 minutes. That's it. But thankfully, guys like George, like, I got all day. Debbie Garlick, the way you love the scriptures, the way you're so generous towards other people and walk with people as they try to figure out the scriptures. Like, our whole church, jam-packed. Allie Lopez, she's the mayor of Novato right here. Like, seriously, there is not a person who doesn't love Allie because she sees everybody. She remembers little details about everybody. She loves and cares for people. It's just incredible. Our whole church is jam-packed full of people who are leveraging their spiritual gifts. And what's so great is we belong to each other. Like, I get to belong, yeah, to Allie, right? And so instead of being bummed that I don't get to be like Allie or be like George, I go, oh, we belong together. It's incredible. I was gonna bust out too. Dan Lewis, always hiding in the back. He's like, what kind of spiritual gift does Dan have? All he does is crush the business world. And he's like, you know what? I'm gonna crush the business world and I'm gonna get other Christians in the business world to come and be together and help them figure out how to love God through business, and has been committed to this ministry in the city for decades. I mean, it's incredible, our whole church. So here's the bottom line. You are God's masterpiece and you're created for good works. You are not a mutant. You're not a mistake. Even the most horrible, awful parts of your history and past, God actually wants to redeem and use and transform and leverage. And when God is making you, he is like a sculptor, like Michelangelo with the David, right? Like, we just say, oh, this big block of marble. But Michelangelo saw the David in the block of marble. And that's what he's doing with us. We are already this masterpiece, and God is just slowly chipping away all the parts that just need to go into the dustbin of history. So what's left are these people, you and me, my sisters and brothers, who have superpowers. to be used by God for his glory and for his purposes. And next week, we're going to talk about actually how to put that into practice because we need some help. Let me pray for us. In fact, will you stand? Let's stand together. Let me pray for us, and then we'll wrap up with some worship. Heavenly Father, and our gracious God, I'm so thankful for your generosity and for your patience. It's so easy to be in a death spiral and to beat ourselves up or to just get checked out of this whole conversation, but to be reminded that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, that you as a good Father have given us incredible spiritual gifts, incredible talents, incredible passions, and you actually long for them to be used in the family business of expanding the kingdom of heaven on earth. And so, God, I pray that you'd help us understand more and more what is it that we uniquely bring to the table, that we would put it into practice, that we would celebrate it with one another, and that we would not just be individual Christians who are trying to be faithful, but that we would be a church, a body of people who belong to one another, who belong to you, and who will be used in your service. May you use our church to bring salvation, redemption, to work for justice, to model mercy as we walk humbly with you and your son, Jesus. And all of God's kids said, amen and amen.